Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast. August 9th, 2016, Pittsburgh Steelers training camp. Right now it's 10 o'clock, no, let's see, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. I'm getting mixed up with this East Coast, West Coast time. But joining me once again, freshly back from Latrobe, where the Steelers had their first of two joint practices with the Detroit Lions, is Alex Kozura. Alex, camp is winding down. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Dave. And I saw you on Twitter. You had fun with the play on words of the word joint practice, didn't you? You were just having a grand old time.
I flash back to my high school days. Of course, as a grown-up now, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. But,
two-a-day joint practices back in high school, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why they call them joint practice. Why do they call them scrimmages, right?
Yeah, right. Especially after the offseason the Steelers have gone through. I want to stay away from that J word.
Yeah, the last thing we need is another joint in Pittsburgh, that's for sure. Head spinning a little bit today. Explain kind of the visuals and all what kind of went on today.
Yeah, if people remember and have been following 2 years ago when Buffalo came to town, it's the same format as that. You're going to get 11 on 11, you know, the one teams are going to work on the near field near the bleachers, the other teams are going to work on the middle field, so you have, you know, two team sessions going on at once. You're going to get one-on-ones that are kind of scattered around the field. You usually get, you know, two groups on the near field, two groups on the middle field, so they kind of broke things up. The Steelers defense primarily practiced on the middle field today, and I kind of kept my attention on the near field because it's easier to see, easier to take notes. So I don't have a whole lot on the defense today. Tomorrow I'm going to switch my attention to the defense and try to learn more about that. So obviously if you go through today's report, it's going to be more of an offensive, you know, Steelers offense, you know, Lions defense kind of centric report. Just by the layout of it. But to compare it to Buffalo, the coaches, you know, had really ramped things down today. It wasn't like Buffalo. It wasn't as intense. You know, it was still competitive, but it wasn't that kind of boiling over thing. There was no contact, no tackling. So from that standpoint, you learn a little bit less. But that's a smart decision from the coaching staff. We don't want fights. We don't want guys getting hurt. We just want to keep it professional. And to both these squads' credit, and Mike Tomlin said it, they were very professional. No fights, not even a skirmish today. So it was a productive day of camp for those teams.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin said after practice, he knows all those ambulance chasers were.
I listened to that. I love that phrase. I love it.
Hey, look, we hyped it up on the site, too. I did an article that I did late last night, you know, with these ex-Bengals coming in as wearing Lions clothing. You know, you just you kind of wondered if there's going to be any carryover from that, and it wasn't. A few injuries today. I'm going to go over the brief injury report, and then I'm going to have you talk a little bit about the play. Players, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, are working their way back to us. The first one, Gerald Hawkins, the rookie left tackle right tackle out of LSU, left injured with a shoulder injury, is what Mike Tomlin called it. I don't want to speculate as to how serious it is. Chris Hubbard stepped in at right tackle because Marcus Gilbert evidently was given the day off. Also injured was young defensive tackle Roy Phylon, went down with an ankle injury. Mike Tomlin said both those guys are being evaluated, and that's how he left it. Now, Mike Tomlin will speak to the media tomorrow afternoon, or before noon, I think, actually, and it'll be interesting to see if he provides any kind of injury update on Hawkins. More than anything is what people probably be most concerned about when it comes to today's list. Ben Roethlisberger was given a personal day off. It was an excused absence, according to Tomlin. He had something personal to take care of, so he wasn't there today. Now, why don't you talk about the people that have been bouncing on and off and out and working their way back?
Yeah, just real quick on Hawkins. Hopefully it's nothing serious. That'd be a big bummer. He's having a nice camp. And it was Hubbard that came in at left tackle, just for the record, not right tackle, with the second team. Other guys today, Travis Feeney still held out. What is that now? 5 days or five practices, six practices now for Travis Feeney. I think it's a thigh. Well, I don't know for sure, but that's what it looked like the other day. Artie Burns was in uniform today, but no shoulder pads. I don't think he did much today. Marcus Wheaton held out entirely. Marcus Gilbert, given the day off, it appears, or at least he wasn't dressed at all today. Maybe that's because of Wallace Gilberry. They don't have the best relationship. Jarvis Jones sat out. I'm going to guess that's just a managed day. Bud Dupree was in full pads. I don't know for sure what all he did and didn't do. Mike Tomlin called it partial. Cole Manhart was back in full today, so that's good news after he missed Sunday with an unknown injury. And then if you are a Lions fan and happen to pop in here, I don't know your whole injury situation. Amir Abdullah still red non-contact jersey. I think Andre Caldwell was held out today. And then Ian Wells, a cornerback, seemed to suffer a pretty serious leg or knee injury in one-on-ones. His leg got caught in the ground. That could be major. He was carted off with Roy Filon.
Okay, now you said Hubbard... When Hawkins left and Hubbard came in and played left tackle?
Yes, left tackle. I think it was Mahalik at right tackle.
Okay, so Mahalik was at right. Okay, I interpreted some of the tweets as it being opposite way around there. So that's good to know there.
Did other people say right tackle? Was there someone else?
I might, you know me, I might have read it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm up 20 hours a day, so sometimes I might misread and misinterpret something. So I'll go with your firsthand account as being the gospel here. You said mostly focused on the offense today. Let's start on the offensive line at some of these drills. To my understanding, some of these, Ziggy and all these guys had some success against the Steelers offensive lineman today.
They did, and that's not surprising considering it's a 4-3 front. You're getting different body types, of course, in team drills. You know, it's different protections. It's different ways that you block it in zone and power. The Steelers offensive line, probably not their best day today. The backup offensive linemen and team drills really had a rough time at it because the Lions threw a lot at them. Some of those tackle end stunts, some of those games, linebacker fires, and those kinds of things. They were just getting pressure every which way and has me worried for Friday. You know, Dustin Vaughn and Gradkowski and them better be careful because they could be under siege quite a bit. And then even the starters and one-on-ones had some trouble. Ziggy Ansah was beating up guys pretty good. Haloti Ngata even got David DeCastro, and DeCastro rarely loses. Ngata got under him with a one-arm stab and pushed him back into the pocket. So, overall, in team drill, the backup linemen struggled. In one-on-ones, the starters kind of had their hands full. There were some bright spots, though. I thought one guy that impressed me was that center, Valerian Ume Azoki. And he had a nice day in one-on-ones today. I forget who his wins were against, but there was one where he threw Caron Reed just into the ground, just a really nasty play and a great finish. Thought he had a nice day today. Thought Hubbard did okay as well. Left tackle gave him some problems. He got beat pretty bad once in there, but one-on-ones, he continues to do some positive work. Cody Wall is still struggling. Ryan Harris, probably not his best day either. Harris has kind of been a little up and down. I think Villanueva has actually been more consistent than Ryan Harris. But yeah, bottom line is seeing a bunch of new faces and a different scheme gave some of these new guys a lot of fits today.
BJ Finney had a couple decent reps, I understand, or no?
Yeah, he's a guy that always wins the leverage battle because he's a shorter guy. He's got a great power. He's got a great lower half that's able to kind of stick his feet into the ground. He's able to get low. I think Hubbard is similar in some ways as well. He doesn't have maybe the strength that BJ Finney does, but he plays with good technique and leverage. So I think both of them have had a really good camp, maybe not great camp, but they both, I think, are worthy of that last spot along the offensive line. And now who knows with this Hawkins injury, maybe they both open up.
Pouncey and Foster, many reps at all during this whole thing?
I've actually been surprised by Pouncey's overall just work in training camp. I thought he would get days off, you know, maybe an on-again, off-again thing the team had talked about. Tomlin, I think, had said they're going to manage Pouncey's reps. I mean, they don't let Pouncey do one-on-one in pass protection. They let him do the run blocking, which I don't know what the difference is, but they do. But Pouncey got pretty much all the reps today. He was in team drill. He did everything full. I'm sure he's been trying to chomp at the bit to get out there and soak all those reps up. Pouncey with a lot of work. Foster had gotten, I think, the days off the last two practices, really, but he was, I think, pretty full today.
Ume Ezeoki, intriguing. Mm-hmm.
More so than what I thought whenever he first, remember he first jogged down when they were in the stretch line. He just shook a coach's hand and he got in work himself. I think he's a super short guy. I think he's listed 6'2 at his pro day coming out of New Mexico State. Again, a guy that has that leverage battle. He'll look bad sometimes when guys can overpower him or guys that are quicker and can get around him. But I thought he has some nasty to his game. He's played a little bit of guard with the Steelers. He's played a good deal of center as well. I thought he's had a nice day today. I think anytime you do one-on-ones against new faces and you stand out, that's something to be said for that, because these aren't guys that you know their moves. You don't know what Caron Reed's move is. You don't know who Caron Reed even is. It's not like you're going against the guy you've seen every day. So I think when you stand out in that situation, in that environment, especially for a young guy, it kind of makes my antennas go up.
And obviously the path to the practice squad is still kind of going to be a tough one for him, but he ought to get plenty of snaps, at least in this first preseason game coming up, because he got, he was signed. He's been in camp, long enough to probably warrant getting some snaps here. All right, tight ends.
Man, not a ton with the tight ends today. I thought Xavier Grimble did some good things in one-on-ones. I'll just say Jesse James continues to impress me as a route runner. I know we've had this conversation before, but I think he does a great job at the top of his route, being able to break down, square his shoulders, work back to the quarterback. Some of those little things, some of those detailed things that I'm guessing he wasn't the best at in his rookie season last year, I think he's cleaned up on. Again, the offense overall, kind of a sloppy day with all the pressure being allowed, so I don't have a great evaluation for them in team drills, but just in one-on-ones, you see Jesse James being able to create separation, and he's not the most athletic guy in the world and not the most, obviously, quick tight end out there compared to a guy like Xavier Grimble. So I think James has the little things that gets him open.
I tell you, him and Grimble, we're going to have our eyes on him, them two, Friday night, aren't we?
It's not like we're looking at Paul Lang and Michael Cooper or anything. So, yeah, James, I'm curious what his snap count will be, but definitely going to get a long look at Xavier Grimble. We're really dying to see how he functions as a blocker.
Yeah, me too. Both those guys, really, as blockers more than anything, is what I really plan to key on the most in the film. One of these comments in the – did you read the comments in the daily blog that I
I did skim through them, but which one are you talking about?
The one about something about Alex, you only posted something positive. I can't, all of a sudden I can't find that now. Wants to know why you only post positive stuff. Was it that good of a day or something like that?
Well, I just try to tweet out the good, the good, because it's usually the things people are interested in, but I'll tweet out the bad as well. And I did throughout the day. And of course you read my reports. We get a lot of up and down going on. So, I try to be balanced, but I think it's been a really good camp. I've said that before. I don't think there's guys that are, totally in over their head. I think, you can say positives about, 95% of this group.
Sam Claunch, here it is. You are you only tweeting the positives, Alex, or are the Steelers really looking that good?
Well, I appreciate no, Sam's a good guy. I like talking to Sam, but I don't. I have you seen? I don't know. You see the other media guys in practice? I don't, because I don't pay attention to that at all. Do you see that they're saying a lot of negative things? Yeah. You think people have gotten that feel that it's been a good camp?
Well, you know how overall. I mean, it seems like. The majority get upset when you write a lot of negative stuff. It seems like people only want to hear the positives sometimes, So I think we keep it real balanced on the site and all. Like, I don't, as far as the tone goes elsewhere, to be honest with you, I mean, you keep me informed enough that, I'll read some of the stuff that Pursuta puts up and all like that. Heck, how many of them guys around there even watch all the practice, Alex?
right. Yeah. No, there's definitely some good guys there, but yeah, usually they end up leaving early. Like, in that last team session, they usually take off early to get a good spot for the Tomlin interview. But from what I've been able to gather from the other guys out there that do a lot of good work, I think they've kind of echoed the same sentiment that it's been a really nice training camp. And there have been, negatives. I mean, we've talked about the guys out there that really don't have much of a chance. But no, I think it's been a competitive group, and we've kind of gone through it. They've been active. There's been a lot of speed on the field, a lot of physicality. Not sloppy play. Not turning the football over, not putting the balls on the ground. So I think it's been a really good camp compared to the couple that I've been to, at least.
I'm going to go backers. I'm going to go running back and then quarterback. Then why I want to end kind of with wide receivers. So, talk to me a little bit about the running backs today.
Yeah, it's just tough to evaluate running backs when you can't hit them. It feels like the first 2 days of practice when there's not any full contact drills. Not a ton to note there. I mean, they did some one-on-ones with the linebackers. I don't know if anyone really impressed there, immensely. Christian Powell did have one decent run in team drill, and it was just a really good hole open up. I think Mahalik and Filer and Nix, it was a power run. I think Nix was the lead blocker, and Powell followed him through the hole. So Powell is that kind of, last in the pecking order. I think he has 12 training camp carries so far. And I think he had 10 over the last five practices once he's kind of gotten into things. And we know Brown Dukes and Stingley and those guys have a lot more. I know that Powell came in later, but just comparatively, Powell is last in the pecking order.
How can you when you look at Nix and think back to last year? I mean, let's face it, that he came out of nowhere. And even during, I can't even remember a lot of praise maybe from you last year on Nix. I mean, he obviously sold himself in the special teams department to Mike Tomlin. Note from what you remember and maybe in last year's notes, noticeable difference from this training camp to last with Nix or no?
Yeah, but that's probably our own biases coming into play. Because yeah, I didn't give Nix much of a chance until they started playing games, and that's usually how it goes for guys that are going to emerge on special teams. Because you just don't get a feel for it until you start playing football in stadium. So I thought Nix was having, made a couple of plays in camp before games, but I thought there's just no home for him. I don't know where you're going to put this guy on the roster, and I just kind of discounted it. But now this year, knowing that he's now a lock for the roster, you take a closer look at him. And of course, he's getting more run at fullback now. He's basically the only fullback there. They'll occasionally put David Johnson in the backfield, but Nix is getting 95% of the fullback snaps. Last year, you had Will Johnson and guys like that kind of taking away some of that play time. So there's just been more exposure to Roosevelt Nix, and now knowing who he is, it changes your perspective a little bit.
It's more the familiarity of the devil you know and all.
Right, and the devil you don't, exactly.
Right. But he sure made a difference when he was on the field last year, didn't he?
I love Roosevelt Nix. They're all my children, Dave, but Nix is my favorite. You got to pick a favorite out of the 90. You can't have a tie for 90 guys in first place. But I love Roosevelt Nix, and yeah, what he did in the preseason last year, that's what got him the spot. I mean, he finished it off with that block against Carolina, and that sewed up his roster spot. You just could not. He was literally the definition of a guy that you just could not cut.
And what was the stat I had on him on rushing yards when he was on the field last year? I mean, just incredible. I mean, he was a difference maker. I mean, when he was on the field, you would expect, he's probably only going to play, what, 120, 130 snaps or so this year. But when he's out there, I mean, there's going to be some skull cracking going on,
Yep.
So,
Exactly.
okay. Let's see. Quarterbacks.
Again, not a lot today. No Ben, and it was pretty sloppy with all the pressure. A lot of check downs today. A lot of hurried throws, just because of all the pressure. But I feel like I talk about this every time because Landry Jones, he's having a fine camp. We've kind of mentioned him. Gronkowski, we've kind of talked about that. Ben, we don't even have to talk about. But I did the training camp stats that went up this morning and compiled all that. And Dustin Vaughn has the most attempts with 97. Landry Jones is second with 95. Ben Roethlisberger, who's now missed three practices, has 93. And then in fourth is Bruce Gradkowski with 54. So Vaughn 97, Gradkowski 54. Again, I know that they want to get a look at Vaughn because he's more unknown than Gradkowski. But Vaughn has more completions than Gronkowski has attempts. So, I mean, if this was any other situation, and again, like I said yesterday, if you took the numbers off these guys and the names away from these guys, you would just assume that Vaughn is the number three quarterback and Gronkowski is just trying to fight for table scraps.
Could you think maybe some issues with that shoulder, just still trying to work through some of that? Maybe they're limiting the reps with Bruce. In other words, is this still probably going to be a gradual? Okay, short question. Do you think the shoulder's still limiting Bruce Gronkowski?
I think it limits his ability to make throws downfield. I think the running joke I had with some friends during practice last week was that Vaughn throws fastballs and Gronkowski throws changeups. That's kind of the comparison to make. So Gronkowski doesn't have much of an arm anymore. There's not much juice there. And yeah, I mean, being able to sling the ball 60 yards isn't that important to a quarterback in the grand scheme of things. Being able to fit footballs in tight windows and make the tough, deep out in the corner out and stuff like that to come back, you have to have the arm strength for that. And Gronkowski has lost a lot of that arm, and he didn't have a great arm to begin with. So I don't think that it's an issue health-wise in terms of a medical standpoint. They signed him after he was fully healthy, but I think just all that wear and tear and age and, I don't know, scar tissue, whatever he's got going on, has limited, you know, that arm strength and velocity, and that's kind of, I think, a real hindrance to him.
Because we're coming up on a year, you know. With him, I'm just curious, maybe it's, yeah, he passes physical and yeah, he'd have to do that in order to be signed. But I just wonder if there's any kind of lasting, maybe.
I bet there is, but I mean, he's not going to get over it soon if he hasn't already. And that's going to be another reason to keep Vaughn instead of Gretkowski around.
Right. And that's where I'm heading here now. I mean, obviously when I'm going to be charting all these pass distances, past the line of scrimmage and all like that. It'll be interesting to see how many shots Bruce takes 15 yards plus down the field, you know, and if he can't make those throws and put the velocity on it, well then, man, I mean, what good is he, you know?
Yeah, he hasn't made a whole lot of difficult throws in camp. I mean, occasionally he'll make a difficult throw, but most of them have been checkdowns. He loves that curl to Sammy Coates against off coverage. He lives on that. I don't chart that kind of stuff. Maybe we will someday, but yeah, he's not made any super difficult throws.
I tell you, you have to wonder too. You know, Kevin Colbert talked the other night on Sirius saying, "Well, you know, we have scouts all around going to all these preseason games." Makes you kind of wonder maybe they wouldn't be looking for a third stringer, you know?
And that's what I said a couple weeks ago before camp was the idea, and I just floated it out there. It's just a wild guess. So if they want a number three, it's going to be some guy that's been in the league for maybe 2 or 3 years but has some long-term potential that you can try to, you know, groom for a season or two and see where you go with him.
What percentage chance would you put on the third quarterback not being Bruce Gretkowski?
Oh, you know, I'm bad with the percentages, but man, I mean,
I'll only hold you to it if you're incredibly wrong. I'll forget Dave, about it if you're right.
The Dave Bryan way, of course. I'll say that there's only, 40% chance of Gretkowski makes his roster. Maybe that's even high. I don't know. I want to see some games first, but I've been talking about it so much, it'd be weird for me to say that he's got better than, you know, 50% odds to make this roster. I think when you have Vaughn, and like you said, you have everyone else in camp, and a lot of quarterbacks get cut because most teams are, or at least half the league carries only two quarterbacks now. You know, he's fighting a lot of competition. So I think as of today, 40% chance that Gretkowski makes it.
Fair enough.
What would you put?
Man, I'm going off what you're telling me. You know, I mean, if you tell me, it's a noticeable difference in his velocity and his ability to get the football downfield.
Between him and Vaughn, yeah, and just Gretkowski standalone, yeah, his arm does not have much. He's like Greg Maddux right now, I think, Gretkowski like that.
Yeah, I mean, from this point in training camp, was there a noticeable difference with Bruce himself between this time last year, or is it noticeable at all?
Oh, man, it's just Gretkowski barely even practiced last year. I think he threw 40 passes and ended up getting hurt. So, I mean, maybe not. I think it'd be a little bit less, but not super noticeable. But I just think, you know, there's a continued decline. And when you compare it with Vaughn, it's a big difference.
Yeah. So, I mean, the money savings isn't going to be there. So it's a whole production thing and upside long term, which you've kind of talked about. So there's definitely some intrigue there. This isn't like a situation like we had last year, you know, with this team. I found that stat real quick on Roosevelt Nix. Average rush with Roosevelt Nix when he was on the field during the regular season last year with the team was 5.08 yards when Roosevelt Nix was not on the field. Now, of course, it's a large sample size without, because he only was on the field for what was 100? Do you remember what I said snaps were with him?
125 or
something. Yeah, something like that. 4.46. So they gained over half a yard more on running plays when Roosevelt Nix was on the field last year. And here's the even more intriguing stat with Roosevelt Nix. When Roosevelt Nix was on the field last year, the average pass, 8 yards. When he was off of it, it was 7.4. He made a difference when he was on the field or the offense. You know, there was a difference in yards, you know, average yards gained. That's for sure. So
I don't know how much Nix had an effect on that. There might be some correlation and not causation there.
Right. But I'm just the facts, ma'am. you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Just the stats, you know. That comes from my net yards over average, kind of, you know, per snap stuff, that chart, you know. Okay. Darius Slay went to the University of Antonio Brown today, didn't he?
He did. They had some great battles in one-on-one. They didn't really get a whole lot in team drills. But, yeah, they had three matchups. There were three go balls, three vertical routes to Antonio Brown. He won all three, although on the second one he dropped it, which was so rare for Antonio Brown that he couldn't finish the play. It wasn't even a difficult catch. But, yeah, three vertical routes. I was listening to Darius Slay on Lions.com talking about the matchup today and just how he was just like, I can't believe this guy's running three vertical routes on me. He's wearing me out. They had some good battles. There was a lot of jockey, and, you know, AB's trying to push off. Slay's trying to grab a little bit of the jersey. Just trying to do all those subtle things that the refs hopefully won't see. So that was super fun to watch. That was probably the top matchup I wanted to see and still want to see tomorrow in camp, is that you have a very underrated cornerback in Darius Slay. I'm sure a lot of Steeler fans don't know about him, but he got a long-term deal in the offseason. He's a really good corner, and AB, of course, is the best receiver in the league. So super fun matchup to watch. Thought Slay did as well as you can trying to cover AB, but AB is just that good.
I hope Artie Burns watched that to see that he's not the only one.
It does make you feel better. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a starter out there that can't even cover that guy. Mm-hmm. All right, what about some of the other wide receivers? Look, we knew Antonio Brown's Antonio Brown.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was a good day for some of the receivers. Eli Rogers, new faces. You want to see how he impresses. He continued to impress. It was more one-on-ones, which, again, is going to be skewed towards the receivers, but he made Quandre Diggs, who's a decent corner, look really silly today in one-on-ones, just be able to create separation top of his route, all those subtle head fakes and hip fakes and things like that to get the corner to go one way, then you break away the other. I thought Rogers had a nice day today. Darius Hayward-Bey's hands continued to look really good. Big difference from even last year. Drops have been rare for Darius Hayward-Bey, which I know is kind of the very opposite reputation that he has, but he's having a nice camp. And then Marcus Tucker needed a good day because he's had a rough camp so far, and he had one nice catch today. It was broken up by Barnes, the cornerback, and Tucker's able to find the football and make a diving catch over Barnes, who's on the ground. So, Tucker needed a good day, and I thought he had one.
Wheaton do much of anything?
No, he was back in, I think he was back in shorts today. So he's kind of been like, they'll get him in some individual work. They did that the other day. Then they'll take him down a notch. So I don't know if something's flaring back up or if this is just normal progression on again, off again to see how he feels. Wheaton's missed a lot of time. Not super concerned about it, but he has.
Creston Butler run around out there today.
He was out there. I forgot about Creston Butler too. I went through my notes typing up today, and I was looking through the Lions roster. I'm like, who is this? I think 29. I'm like, oh, it's Creston Butler. So Ayers juked him once today, and I think Butler might have lost one or two reps in one-on-one. Real quick last note, Isaac Blakeney, good teaching moment today. One-on-ones, he runs a comeback, gets a little bit of separation, but he doesn't work back to the football. He just kind of watches it in, and the cornerback comes underneath him and should have picked it off. It hit him right in the chest, and he dropped it. But, Blakeney, a bit of a raw guy, but that's one teaching point. Work back to the football. If you stand on your spot, guys are going to get under your route, and they're going to make plays.
A lot of individual more than team stuff today?
There was a little less team sessions. I think the offense only had, the offense probably had five because I didn't watch the one team session. So now it's probably about normal in that regard. But like I said, just because of all the pressure the Lions were getting today, there were so many forced checkdowns. Yeah, the Lions had some good coverage too. It forced, you know, some throwaways. So you just didn't get a great feel for how things went in team drill because they weren't targeted as much. So you get a better feel in one-on-ones. I thought another name to throw out there, Levi Norwood had one nice catch in one-on-one today, a leaping catch on a fade route. So I thought it was a good day overall for the Steelers receivers.
Okay. And like you said, probably not, you know, you weren't able to watch as much defense as you'd like. You're going to shift attention to that on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But you do have some brief overall thoughts and notes on the defense today.
Yeah, just briefly. Again, I only watched one team session. I thought, again, Hargrave was able to get some penetration. He blew up one play. I just wish, I'm not positive of who he shed. It was either the fullback or the center. And if it was the center, then that's a bigger story than the fullback. But he was getting in the mix a little bit. LeVon Hooks had one nice play today. He threw Gabe Eichert on his butt. I'm not sure if Eichert tripped or what, but Eichert went down hard, and Hooks blew up a run, and LJ Fort cleaned things up. Elsewhere, Ross Cockrell got picked on a little bit. I feel bad for Ross Cockrell. He gets good receivers all the time. It was Marvin Jones on him today. Nothing contested. It was just a lot of comebacks and curls and kind of stuff where the corner can't do a lot, but I'm sure it's a little frustrating. And then Sean Davis bringing the physicality. He had one hit out of bounds in a non-contact session today. And then did you hear Tomlin's comments about the conditioning? I thought that was really interesting and some praise from Tomlin to a rookie.
Yeah, and that's rare. He did praise him. You'll be able to take those extra reps and all, so that's encouraging. Probably not. Nobody listening to this podcast is not excited to see what he does in the game Friday night. Too bad they don't have that cat named C.J. Goodwin still.
I know you and David Todd were talking about it. You're going to keep talking about it too, aren't you?
Look, I mean, you can't go position switch every undrafted rookie that comes in. I mean, and I'm not getting on the Steelers on that, but I mean, it's just it's fun. It's fun and it's not fun to watch a guy that spent, you know, nearly two camps with the Steelers. He turns around, gets signed to a futures contract, or actually once he joined the Falcons late last season is evidently when that process of him switching to cornerback took place. And boy, if you read some of the reports over there going on in Atlanta right now, he's having a fantastic camp. You know, getting praise from the coaches. Of course, they've had a few injuries there, and he's been allowed to get a rep here and there with the first team. We've said it a couple of times. You know, just keep an eye on him throughout the preseason there. And you know, I'm not going to say that. Oh man, if the Atlanta Falcons end up having to cut him, expose him to waivers, the Steelers should snatch him back up. But I don't know. You know, there might be a little something there. Who knows what his NFL future holds at the cornerback position there.
We've seen that switch before. I think the Miami's been doing it with Tony Lippett. I don't think it's going as well as Goodwin, but Lippett was a big receiver out of Michigan State. They moved him to cornerback. But the Steelers might actually have one guy who probably won't make the 53, but they have one kind of tall, you know, good leaper kind of guy on their roster right now, and Alhash Shabazz. And I watched out of the corner of my eye, he broke up a fade to Jay Lee today, and so he's the guy that thinks Shabazz is 6'1 or 6'2, and he, you know, I kind of discounted him after the first couple practices because the reps weren't there, and I just, you know, what are the odds? But he's stringing together some nice plays. If you go back and look at our charting, our wide receiver DB, where obviously the DBs aren't going to win a lot, Shabazz had the most wins out of anybody, and his percentage was closer to the top than it was the bottom. So that's a sneaky name to keep an eye on, who might make some plays in the preseason and could have a roster spot for the practice squad because he's a big corner who might be better at press and can match up against some of the bigger receivers, and that's kind of the way the Steelers, you know, might be gravitating towards.
Did you learn anything about the special teams today?
They did do some work. That's how they kicked off the special teams period. I thought Will Monday had a couple nice punts. I think Barry still gets better hang time, and he still might have the better leg. Punt coverage team, Roosevelt Nix was the left wing. Robert Golden, the up back, no change there. The right wing, they kind of rotate a lot. That's kind of the spot that's in flux right now. I still have my money on Sean Davis ultimately getting that spot. And then they had Jesse James running down punts today with the first team. So we'll see. It was the right guard spot, the guy next to Greg Warren to his right. So that's kind of the one spot that I don't know who's going to fill. The rest of them, I think, are locked up. Vince Williams is the left tackle. Arthur Moses, left guard. Greg Warren's going to be your center / long snapper. Anthony Chiclo, the right tackle. The right guard spot is the one that's kind of in the air right now. Is it going to be Stephen Johnson, Tyler Matakevich, Jesse James? We'll have to wait and see on that one.
All right, being as how we're focusing on mainly the offense today, give me start by giving me your overall overarching thoughts on today's practice, and then give me two winners and two losers from offense.
Oh, two winners, two losers. Well, I think the overarching thought was just, you know, facing that 4-3 defense and facing a lot of good defensive line talent, and the Lions have a good bit with Onsaw and Copeland and Nada and Gilberry. As much as we don't like Wallace Gilberry, you know, he's still a talented player. I think it gave the Steelers some fits today, so I want to see how they respond to that tomorrow. Now you saw it today. Now you got your exposure to it. Let's see how you react. I want to see the Steelers do a better job of picking up some of those games and stunts and just not allowing as much interior pressure, kind of a big issue today. I might not get the focus on that as much tomorrow because my eyes are going to be towards the defense, but I'm sure I'll still get a sense for it. Winners, I just listened to him pronounce his name, and now I totally forget what it is. But Valerian Ume Azoke, I thought he had a nice day in one-on-ones, like I said. You know, if you show up against guys you haven't seen before, you show some nasty to you. You know, I'll give you the nod. I'll go back to Eli Rogers as well for a nice day today. Marcus Tucker in a similar light, but you know, Tucker made some of the plays on team drills. I thought Rogers made some of the bigger plays and individual work, but Rogers continues to do his thing. Losers, Cody Wallace. He had his first win, at least in my book, win in one-on-ones of all camp. He was 0-9-1 coming into today. He did have one win, but he got worked over one or two times. Tried to reach block on I think it was Stephon Charles on a run and team drills, and he just couldn't get there in time. You know, Wallace is having a rough camp, but we've talked about that before. I think, you know, the fact that his body of work is much larger than 10 training camp practices. Another loser today.
He is who he is.
Exactly right, Dave. He is who he is. I don't know if I have another great loser today. Again, I just think the whole offensive line, the second string in team drills really struggled today. So my challenge to them, which is, of course, meaningless, my challenge to them, but will be for them to pick up those stunts and those twists a lot better than they did today.
All right, you'll be back out at St. Vincent College on Wednesday. The Steelers will practice on Thursday, but that one's closed to the public. Mm-hmm. The game Friday, they'll be back at it. They have Saturday off, right?
Yeah, I think their next day is either Sunday or Monday is the next day of practice. I think Monday, I want to say. And tomorrow's practice is a late one, so if you're wondering where the notes in the podcast are at, practice is 5:15 tomorrow, so it'll be later. Everything will be later.
Right, expect late notes, and we talked before we got on tonight. We're going to do the podcast, and it'll be up there late if you want to listen to it. You know, don't holler if it's, it takes us a while to get that done and up. We will have it for you, but as Alex said, it's a much later start time on Wednesday as well. Alex, thanks for painting a great picture. Really makes me feel like I'm there sometimes, you know, reading these tweets and reading your reports, and a lot of people don't understand. I don't get to read your report actually until we get off the podcast. So I appreciate you painting a picture for me as well. Look forward to what you do on Wednesday as well too. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Kozora. Follow my co-host David Todd at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, and tonight, Alex Kozora.